Daniel writes the newsletter every month. If you want to subscribe to that, send an email to DanielLovesTheBlobRemake@gmail.com.
We make blob condoms.
This podcast is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. Spoiler warning for whatever is in the title of this episode.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to thehorrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible and all other major podcast apps.
Welcome to episode 3 of The Blobathon.
Blah, 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 blah.
Sponsored by Four Horsemen Cat Litter and Comics. I'm sorry, Cat Litter and Gaming. I am Ryan, and with me, as always, is Daniel. Say hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
And I forgot, we're discussing The Blob from 1988, the remake, the third and final film in the trilogy. How does The Blob trilogy rank among, like, among trilogies?
What other trilogies are, I guess, Aliens? Or are we just doing, like, trilogies in general or horror trilogies?
Just trilogies.
Is there anything that's even just a trilogy anymore? You'd have to break them up. Like, original Star Wars trilogy.
I mean, Lord of the Rings trilogy, Back to the Future trilogy.
There's three of those?
Back to the Future? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
With Star Wars, I view it as a trilogy of trilogies. And then I view the Jurassic Park as the Jurassic Park trilogy and the Jurassic World trilogy.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then there's
the how do you do Indiana Jones? That one's a little harder.
I used to pretend it was just a trilogy, but now that a fifth one's coming out, I don't think I can really do that.
Maybe if you get a sequel to this new one, you can call it like the old trilogy, new trilogy.
I know people keep saying this, but I don't think there is going to be another one after this one.
I don't think so either, but I didn't think there'd be a fifth one.
They talked about it for a long time. Granted, that doesn't mean anything. They talk about a lot of stuff. Granted,
I think people's hate on Crystal Skulls is like way too much.
So,
but I'm surprised this happened.
I have a Kingdom of the Crystal Skull rant, but this now is not the time.
Yeah, this is the Blobathon.
This is not. Yeah. Ron, if you want to hear that, then have us watch all 5 Indiana Jones movies. That would be the Jones-a-thon. Dr. Jones!
We'll play that clip of George Lucas raping him from South Park.
Oh. That was... Yeah, it wasn't not that bad.
Squeal like a piggy.
Pinball machine. All right, thank you to our patrons who were very patient listening through that, hopefully. Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons. Oh, very low. The Blobath trilogy ranks very low. That was my...
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah. Logan,
the full metal patron. And thank you to Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which you can visit at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall at Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and say hello to Ronald III, the Blob of Christmas.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, our history with the Blob, 1988. I've never seen it before. Daniel?
I think I was in grade school, or maybe just into junior high, and it was on TV. It was like one of those like Halloween marathons, and it freaked me the fuck out.
I can see this scaring a child, for sure.
I always remember the football player who, at first, is kind of billed like the main character, and then, nah.
He dead.
The vampires are pure myth, superstition.
I may be able to bring you proof that the superstition of yesterday can become the scientific reality of today.
All right, so background. This film was released August 5th, 1988. It was directed and co-written by Chuck Russell. After The Blob, he actually changed his name on films to Charles Russell, possibly to distance himself from The Blob.
What? I love The Blob.
Yep. All right, so continuing. He also directed and co-wrote Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
That's great!
He also directed The Mask and the Scorpion King.
Those are surprising.
Yeah. This is a quote that he said in an interview about this film. Maybe it was a mistake to do a remake of The Blob with a sense of humor. I thought it would be an entertaining interpretation. Unfortunately, it released late in a very hectic summer filled with big films, and it didn't have a particularly good ad campaign. He's not a big fan of the film that he made.
Wow.
This film was co-written by Stephen King icon Frank Darabont, who was involved with a little film called The Mist, a little film called Shawshank Redemption, and something called The Green Mile. It actually had a couple phases. The screenplay actually had a couple different phases. The original screenplay for this film was written by Ken Linacre and Theodore Simonson. Ken Linacre was one of the screenwriters for the original Blob, and actually the person who came up with the name The Blob. Originally, it was going to be called The Molten Meteor.
It was a good name change.
Agreed. This film had a budget of $10 million and made $8.2 million.
Oh, that's not great.
That's really bad. It's probably the least successful Blob film. We don't know how much money Beware the Blob made.
But it was such a micro budget.
But it was only made with $150,000. So I think it's a safe assumption that this is the least financially successful Blob film. At the time, didn't have a great response from critics and audiences. It's very mixed, but it has developed a cult following. Daniel writes the newsletter every month. If you want to subscribe to that, send an email to daniellovestheblobremake@gmail.com.
We make blob condoms.
Gross. They're called blondoms. Blobdoms.
It's really just some slime that we put in a condom package. Roll over yourself.
Reading over like some quick like reviews and comments and stuff, I felt one. This is a comment that I felt had some merit to it. The Blob can't replicate the B-movie charms of the original, though its fast-paced and gory thrills pack enough of a punch to make it a worthwhile update.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be one more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. Four acts.
Okay, so jumping into structure and themes. In terms of structure, it's more or less the exact same thing.
It's a Blob movie.
I feel like I've seen the same movie three different times. Though this one has some differences, which we'll get into.
They have one difference, and I like to call it the, even though it, no real connection, I call it the Phantoms difference now.
Yeah. I really felt like I was watching Phantoms in the second half of this movie.
Yeah.
So, some returning themes. This is also a small-town horror. It also focuses on a lot between the relationships between the teenagers of the town and the local cops. A little bit of a difference. The original film and Beware the Blob really characterized the teenagers of the time, 50s teens and 70s teens. I don't feel like this did that as much with 80s teens, but I don't feel like 80s teenagers really had like the stereotypical culture in the same
way. All they had was perms, and that's what they gave them.
Yeah. Teenage culture of that decade is not as iconic as it was of the 50s and 70s. Maybe that's
even the 90s.
Even the 90s, yeah. So some new themes. Government conspiracy, biological weapons, guys in the suits running around chasing E.T. Basically, they tried to give the Blob an origin story. They tried to explain what the Blob was and where it came
from. Can you guess what my coons is?
Well, yeah. Sad to say, it didn't work out. So reading on the intent of this film, this is the Blob made for a more cynical era. It was supposed to be the Blob with an anti-authoritarian or an anti-establishment message.
Fuck the man. They make blobs.
And I think they did that, but, like, in the worst kind of way. Mm-hmm. It was, like, fuck the government just because they're the government. And, like, not, like, sure, fuck the government, I agree. But give a reason. Not just because they're the government.
The government was supervillains.
Yeah. And this is also why our protagonist, Kevin Dillon, he's billed a little bit more as a bad boy and a rebel than our male leads from the previous two films.
Brian Flagg, cousin to Randall Flagg.
I thought he was his nephew. That was the joke I was going to make.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Jumping into characters, we'll of course start with Kevin Dillon as Brian Flagg. And as I said, he's supposed to be more of a bad boy. Daniel, what are your thoughts on him? And then how do you think he compares to Steve McQueen from the original and Robert Walker, who played Bobby in Beware the Block?
I like him more than both of them, so.
I do not. Why do you like him more?
He looks more his age.
True.
So I wasn't constantly taken aback by that. And I just think he plays the role that he was given better than the other two did. You're a scared teenager running away from the blob, but still trying to do your best in the situation.
He felt like a little too much of a caricature to me. The bad kid from across the tracks, but they gave zero reasons for that. He had absolutely, like, no story behind him.
He had Motorcycle Ryan, that's enough.
Yeah. You can't just give a character long hair, a leather jacket, and a motorcycle and a bad attitude and that be enough. I need a little bit more.
You'd rather get his backstory than the government's backstory.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more character development. Still, he was better than avocado sandwich obsessed Robert Walker from Beware the Blob, but to me, he didn't hold a candle to Steve McQueen.
Mr. Blue Eyes.
Maybe it would have been different if I saw this movie first or if I saw this movie as a kid, but watching them.
You choose between his perm and the blue eyes.
I choose blue eyes every time. You could swim in Steve McQueen's eyes.
I feel like I could swim in his hair.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't like that hair, though. I think it looks terrible.
It does, but it cracks me up.
I know. And that kind of took me out of it, but it's a generational thing. Then we have Shawnee Smith, who plays Meg Penny, the quote-unquote nice cheerleader. What are your thoughts on her, and how does she compare to Anita Corsat, who was Jane in the original, and Gwen Gilford, who played Lisa in Beware the Blob?
She tries to do more. The only thing that takes me out of it watching it these days is, like, the one-liners. I'm gonna pull this grenade and you take that, you bitch.
I think she's my favorite of all three female leads.
Yeah, I think she is, but I'm just saying that kind of stuff, it's very 80s.
Yeah, it is very 80s. She felt like she was trying to be in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
It's like an 80s action star sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which, I also love that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm watching something that's supposed to be a horror film, I'm like, eh.
It does take you out of a little bit, but it's leaps and bounds better than the two female leads from the previous two films who
amounted to screaming.
Were just nonsensical and screaming and completely reliant on their boyfriends to get them out of the situation.
Yeah.
Where Shawnee Smith literally picks up an M16 and goes to town.
And tries, yeah. One of my favorite sequences in the film is when she takes the two kids through the sewers.
Yeah. I will tell you, I was hoping the whole time, I was like, man, I hope they kill that kid with the headphones, but they're not going to. They did. They yeah. did. Oh, it was great.
My joke was going to be, this is the fuck them kids edition of the Blob.
Yeah. Fuck them kid.
Yeah.
At least it didn't cock tease you. Like,
yeah, it wasn't the Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Like the other two movies, this has a huge cast, lots of characters. So let's, instead of going through them all one by one, let's just pull out some of our notables. Was happy to see somebody I've actually met in real life in this movie, Robert Axelrod, a.k.a. Is his name Lord Zedd?
Yes.
Yeah, in Power Rangers. He has a bit part in this movie.
You've met Lord Zedd?
Yeah.
Wow. That's better than when I met Laura Bailey.
No, Laura Bailey better. Laura Bailey much better. No offense, Robert Axelrod, but Laura Bailey better.
I still have the pea bread shirt she signed.
Yeah, I was so rude to her. I really...
Because you went to Ash Ketchum.
No, it wasn't that. It's what I said to her. Like, it's, you ever remember like one of those like edgelord things you did in college and just like, ugh, just cringe?
Literally my entire college experience, yes.
Well, that's how I feel about, that's how I feel every time I remember my interaction with Laura Bailey.
Did I really wear a fedora and a trench coat there? Oh no.
Yeah, you were wearing a fedora and a trench coat and I was the one who said something super cringy. What other notable characters for you in this?
Wait, so was Robert here, was he the sheriff?
No, that's the guy from The Mist.
Okay.
He was, I don't even know if he was named, but he was one of the government guys in a suit.
Okay.
Not the main one.
I like the waitress. The thing I like most, about, especially this movie and it part characters, is this movie is like, hey, we're going to tease you with some of these characters, and then we're just going to fucking murder them.
Yeah, I really appreciated that. Like Beware the Blob, yeah. This movie was not afraid to fucking kill its characters, and I loved that.
And my favorite one was the sheriff, because they were playing him up like he was going to be the sheriff from the original, mm-hmm. and come around and help the kids.
Yeah.
And she makes that phone call. Oh, he went down to the diner, and she looks around, and he's just melting in the blob.
I loved that. But I'll tell you, I was really upset during that scene, and it affected my enjoyment of the movie.
Yeah.
Because she escapes the diner, and she runs into that phone booth, instead of literally running to the sheriff's office, which is like three doors down. And I think that was a legitimate continuity error. I think they forgot.
I think they didn't think that through, yeah.
Yeah. And that completely took me out of it. Even though where she dies in the phone booth is probably the coolest death in the movie.
What they did was they Zack Snyder'd it, and they didn't think about the story. They thought about what scene would look cool.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, it'll look cool if she's in the phone booth, and then like you see the sheriff dead, and they just didn't think about like what was in the script.
And I guess you could try and write it off and say, oh, she was so afraid that she was irrational, but it's still like,
I just enjoyed the death too much to care.
Yeah, I don't know, it took me out of it. I didn't like the priest, including the stinger ending. I would have taken the priest out of the movie completely.
I would have written him a little bit differently. He was a little too over the top.
Do you like the stinger ending?
I like the idea of the stinger ending.
Not so much how it was done.
Not like how he's a Southern Baptist, mm-hmm. with it. I would have done something a little bit more subdued, especially if he's supposed to be like a... He was supposed to be Catholic, right? Like a Catholic priest?
I don't think there's anything that says that he's Catholic in it.
I don't know. I just always picture that frock specifically with them.
The collars are worn by multiple different denominations.
Okay, well, I would have written something more subdued.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, maybe on the roadside he pulls it out and is looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big sermon thing. I like the idea of it. It was a little too flamboyant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Any other characters that you want to mention?
The football player who gets fucking wrecked.
That was great. That was one of the high points of the film for sure.
That sells the movie for me.
I really like the scene with the pharmacist dad. Where he
ribbed?
That was hilarious.
You know what the best part about that is to me? Is... I think all of us have been in that at least one situation where we are doing something embarrassing and we try to pawn it off on somebody else.
No.
Oh, I have.
I know. I was always... whenever we collectively bought pornography or lube or something stupid in high school, I was always the one who took it to the register. I had no shame.
I always took it to the register because I turned 18 first, and that's how I made money in high school.
Yeah, we used to pull change out of everybody. We'd pull up all our cars and pull change out of it and see if we had enough to buy a hentai DVD from FYE.
That's fucking great.
Yeah. Not really.
The story's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Kill you all! I'll drive you crazy and I'll kill you all! I'm every nightmare you ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Scary shit. Was this movie scary?
Yes.
Not even close.
Disagree. Seeing those people melt still freaks me out.
I don't know if you would think that if you saw this movie as an adult instead of seeing it as a kid. It, to me, it's like saying this movie is scary, and I know, like, it scary is, it's an opinion. It's what is scary is different to different people, but to me, saying this movie is scary is like saying Reanimator is scary.
I don't think it's on the same level as comedy as Reanimator, but
I think it's maybe like one notch below Reanimator.
I'd say like a notch and a half.
Yeah, but it's, I'd say they're pretty close to the same. They're both in the same ballpark.
I think when this movie tries to make a horrific scene, it's actually horrific.
Well, they made it intending it to be funny.
Still freaks me out. I just imagine getting melted by that thing.
Yeah, it's too silly, and it's too silly to be scary to me. And for me, the scariest things are things that are grounded in reality, but then add a supernatural element to it. Like Pet Sematary, there's nothing in here that's even remotely realistic, and I didn't find it scary. I found it, to me, this was a horror comedy, and I didn't find it scary in any way.
I disagree. Love it.
You disagree that I didn't find that it was a horror, that I didn't think it was scary?
Yes.
As we've gone through this podcast, I think it's been made clear to me that what's more important isn't so much the movie you're watching, it's when you're watching it, how you're watching it, how old you are, what movie you've seen before. All of that matters more to how you perceive a movie than the actual movie itself.
Yes.
So, I mean, because you saw this movie as a kid and it scared the pants off of you. I think if I saw this movie as a kid, it would probably scare the pants off of me.
It's still one of the reasons I found Phantom so scary.
Watching it as an adult, it's just like, like I said, I put it up there with Reanimator. It's just super, super goofy, over-the-top special effects. Call Girl of Cthulhu, I would also put it in that same camp.
I think Call Girl of Cthulhu is better.
Call Girl of Cthulhu is better than this movie, yes. Okay.
It had titties.
The Blob itself.
Oh, wait, one more character. The rapist friend.
Date rape Joe. Who has date rape down to a science.
So if it wasn't for the fact that poor girl died, I would say that him dying would have been the best part.
Yeah, it's that poor girl, and he got her so drunk that she fell asleep,
and then the blob ate her.
Yeah, at least she died while she was asleep, so I guess she had a painless death.
Better, yeah.
And she didn't get scared out of her mind like he did, but yeah, that guy was totally disgusting.
Seeing him die, I love his scene in the pharmacy, and I love seeing him die.
Yeah, those were great. Really enjoyed both of those. Also, I really like the guy who plays the pharmacist. His name is Arthur something. He's in, like, every Tim Allen movie. I can't remember his name. Okay, so the Blob. I loved some of the effects with the Blob, and I didn't love some of the effects with the Blob.
Which ones did you not love?
The ones where they were like trying to force the perspective.
Okay.
To make it, because, and it was, I'm sure it looked fine at the time, but it was just way too obvious to, like, viewing it modernly. Like, where they would take, like, they'd obviously have a miniature in the foreground and the Blob here, and then they would have the people on a separate screen in the background. And that second screen in the back was just so fuzzy and off color compared to the foreground.
Okay, so less of that, more hospital scenes.
Yeah, the hospital was really cool. The phone booth was really cool. The attack from the water.
I love the sewer scene.
Yeah, that was really great.
It's why I can never escape through a sewer. Yeah. If I experience like a real horror situation, I will not go in the sewer now.
Yeah. Although I will say I was initially put off by the sewer because it just kept throwing those phantoms like thing, and I'm not even sure. I don't think they have anything to do with each other, but it kept putting me back into phantoms.
It's very, especially after watching Phantoms, and mm-hmm. I'm sitting there going, man, I almost forgot these suits were even in the movie.
Yeah, I think they're the worst part of the movie by a lot.
I also think they're the worst part of the movie. And on this rewatch, they were my least favorite part in a one close.
And agreeing, we both agree that trying to give the Blob an origin story, especially an origin story that it's a biological weapon made by the government, was a huge mistake.
Yeah, that's even one of my criticisms of Phantoms is like,
They over-explain
the monster.
It was, and in the first two films, it's meteorite crashes to Earth and an alien thing comes out of it, and that's enough.
Yeah. I almost feel like that was put in to try to be like, they had a message they wanted to go, and they were like, how do we...
They wanted to be anti-establishment.
And how do we do anti-establishment with the Blob? And that's what they came up with.
The government itself is almost like a secondary villain in this movie, and it has, like, the superhero problem where it has two villains.
I'm only going to be, like, semi-political for a second, so feel free to cut this. I always feel like... I always feel like when you make a political statement, but you turn the bad guy into a caricature, that is counterintuitive. You should be more realistic with the kind of things that your opponents are actually doing. The rare exception to this is stuff like maybe the USSR or the Nazis, who did, like, literal supervillain shit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm like, you gotta make it a little more grounded in what you're trying, so that you can, because there's still people who had ideologies, and this is why they're doing it, but it's still nefarious. I feel like when you understand the bad guy, you can hate him more effectively.
No, I think I agree with you, and actually Ian McDiarmid said something similar in the Star Wars villain panel at Celebration this
year. Okay, cool. So there we go.
He was asked how he plays villains, and he talked about how recently in a play he had to play a certain British politician, and how it was more important to him to, like, learn the guy's history and learn his motivations and why he did what he did, and remind himself that he was a real person with, like, with a real eye. Basically the same thing you just said.
Yeah. It's a detriment when left-wing people do it. It's a detriment when right-wing people do it. If you turn your opponent into a caricature in your film, I no longer believe that's an actual thing.
Power of Christ compels you. We are combining with homework today in honor of the wonderful stinger ending of the Blob remake. What would your Blob cult look like if you were the cult leader?
It would be very much you convince people that you're becoming one with the force of destruction and the gods, so you willingly feed yourself to the Blob.
I would make my followers cosplay as different furries. And when when you join the Blob cult, you spin the Blob wheel and it lands on an animal, and then that's your animal personality. In my head, I'm kind of mixing Cult of the Lamb and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And now, as I'm saying it out loud, I realize it has nothing to do with the Blob.
That's great. I support this call.
I would, and then we'd make a punch, but I would add, like, so much, like, Jell-O stuff to it that it would become like a Blob.
Do you care about a minor spoiler for one of the South Park games?
No.
Okay. So, you break into the police station, I think it's in the second one, and you go to the bottom of the police station to find out that all the police are in a cult, and the reason that all the black people are getting arrested is because their god only likes to eat black people. And if you feed the boss white meat, it gets mad and gets hurt.
Oh, so if you give it a turkey, you have to cut out all the white meat?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's a Lovecraftian god. It's like Yogg-Sothoth, but when it comes out, it looks super blobbish. Just that with furries.
Ah! Oh my god, are you Stephen King?
No, I'm Dean Koontz.
Oh.
Kings and Koontz. My king is the special effects portions that I liked.
My king is also the special effects portions that you liked.
Yay! And my Koontz is basically the second half of it. I felt like I loved the first half of this movie. Absolutely loved it. And then the government showed up, and I really feel like the second half of the movie just drug the whole thing down.
I would have completely written out at least that much of the government.
Yeah. So I would just say just basically the government. The government is my coons. Fuck the government.
Same.
All right, cool. Ranking. And again, you can go to the show notes, get our Discord link, join the Discord, and go to the rankings tab to see how we rank all the crap we read and the crap we watch.
It's not better than anything in the top 10. Put it right above Renfield.
So your new number 15.
Yeah.
The blah, 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 blah. 1988. And that puts your Blob ranking as the remake, the original, the sequel.
Yes.
Okay. And then I have my... I already ranked mine. I have it as my new number 24. So kind of in the middle, towards the upper half of the middle. And that puts my Blob rankings at the original, the remake, and the sequel. I actually... It's funny because I watched this in two sittings. And I stopped almost exactly halfway through. I stopped watching the first night, like, literally right before the government showed up. And I texted you, like, this is the best one. This is so awesome. This is the best. And then I saw the second half of the movie. I'm like, maybe it's not quite as good as I thought it was.
I just would like to point out that Ring Cosmobon is ranked higher.
Ring Cosmobon, if you can get over the horrible production quality...
It is amazing.
...is a really good movie.
All I want to do is get rich enough to buy the rights.
We've literally reviewed 53 movies, and I have Ring Cosmobon in my top 20.
Yeah.
At movies and TV and anime, blah, blah. Okay. Blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-thon. For Zombie Day, I just had one thing. Del Close, who plays the Reverend or the Priest in this movie, he was one of the hobos in Beware the Blob in the barn.
Huh.
Yeah. So that's a cool thing.
That is cool.
Yeah. All right, question for the listeners. What's your Blob ranking? Which is your favorite of the three? Which is your least favorite of the three? If anybody prefers Beware the Blob, reach out. Let us know. We want to hear about that.
I would love to hear the argument.
Yeah. I don't think... It probably won't even be an argument. It'd be like, oh, that's the one I saw as a kid, and I loved it.
Hi, Grampus.
Hi, Grampus. Yeah, the first movie that ever gave him nightmares. And that and Kitty Litter. All right, for further reading, I think if you like this movie, you probably would like Reanimator and Creepshow. How about you?
You probably would like Phantoms.
Yeah. This movie is much better than Phantoms.
Yeah.
As much crap as I just gave this movie, it's way better than Phantoms.
It's the good Phantoms. If you change some of the dialogue, it could have just been Phantoms.
I will watch this movie again. Oh, and I never mentioned, I wanted to bring this up at some point. Kevin Dillon, the worst Dillon. I'm sorry, but I like Matt. Matt's a good Dillon.
Okay.
Okay, upcoming on the Horror of Babylon this Sunday, first of the Pet Sematary films, the original from 1989. My opinion, one of the scariest movies ever made. And Grampus will return for that. And we are going to have a different plan for recording, so we won't have the same sound issues we had on the Star Wars episode.
Woo!
Yeah. And then our bonus episode the following week, we're going to talk about the short story and Dollar Baby of Boogeyman, so Daniel and I can go see that movie when it comes out.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorite Stephen King short stories. It's super scary.
All right.
All right. Thank you to our patrons, including, but not limited to, actually, yes, limited to, Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and
Logan,
the Full Metal Patron. I hate milk. And Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which you can visit at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall at Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And you can say hello, if he's not in the back room rolling around in cat litter, to Ronald the Third, Grampus of Christmas. And
buy comics. Free comic book day is coming up,
free,
isn't it?
By the time this publishes, it will have gone.
All right. Well, but maybe, I hope you went.
I hope you went. Right. There may be left. There's often leftovers from free comic book day. And if you don't, just go buy some regular comics too at your local store if you're not in our area. Cool. And say hi to that guy. That person who listens in Romania. We see you.
We see you. We love you.
We love you. Daniel, thank you for watching the Blob remake with me. Oh, and there will be one more episode of the Blobathon because we are going to do the Treehouse of Horror Married to the Blob.
Can't wait.
So stay tuned for that, and then we'll wrap up the Blobathon.
I just like that every time we do something now, we have a Simpsons equivalent for it now.
Yep. It's just part of the show. All right. Stay tuned for our socials and stay scary.
Stay scary. Get my milk over here.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. Follow Daniel at DStarSick on Twitter. Follow Ryan at Darth Daimyo on the Bluebird app. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to thehorrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps. Stay scary.
I swear to God, if that poor girl didn't also...
There's a cat fight happening at the screen door.
Oh, no.
Tabby, get out of here!
It's okay, she's gone. She's gone, I'm sorry.
We had to break up a cat fight. She's a bad cat. All the good cats are inside.
It's okay.
I didn't know there was a door rule.
Nah, I don't know it, but didn't know either.
So. I forgot I can't leave that door open at night, because that happens every time. The neighbor's cats sleep in our carport.
What's that say about their home life?
Bad. They eat out of a trough in the backyard.
Oh my god.
A cat trough.
Yeah, they have like a big trough and they just fill it with cat food. They have like 7 cats.
It's too many cats.
Yeah, well, they're all outside, which is better and not better.
Yeah, at the same time.
Okay, if we were Ghostbusters...
He'd be the black one?
I was going to say, excluding Ernie Hudson, because none of us are cool enough to be Ernie Hudson. I was going to say he's probably Bill Murray, but...
Yeah, sadly.
Sadly?
Because I want to be Bill Murray, no, but I'm not.
You're Harold Ramis.
I am
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Which means I get a blowjob from a ghost.
Yeah, that's 100% how it goes. Which is weird, because my waifu is a ghost.
Yeah.
I saw the co.
Yeah. My waifu is not a ghost.